I'm going to welcome up the next panel. And this is going to be, the next panel is going to be moderated by Fenella Mukangara, who herself runs a truly exceptional program in Tanzania. So I'm going to let the whole panel come up. She'll be running it. She'll introduce the other panelists. But I do want to speak a moment about her program, hopefully not stealing any of the thunder, because she'll be telling you more about it. Please have a seat. So Fenella is the director of the Gender Center at the University of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. She's an academic and activist. She's an expert on gender mainstreaming. Her specialty is organizational change for gender equality and equity. But none of that really captures, I think, what's most important, which is she runs this truly exceptional program at the University of Dar es Salaam, addressing the barriers from the beginning to end that keep women from succeeding in science and engineering. When we started our fellowship and we started these programs saying we were going to go look at the most successful programs around the world and look at them both for what they had to teach each other, but what they had to teach all countries, we had a little bit of a challenge, I think, with some funders, though they were wonderful in the end, convincing them that Canada has a great deal to learn from Colombia, that the United States has a great deal to learn from Tanzania, that the direction of learning is across all of these countries, all of us from each other. And all I can say, having been on the faculty at Harvard at the time when the president threw out the hypothesis that women weren't succeeding in math because they were genetically less good at it, is that I really wish the United States and Harvard and all the universities I've been at could learn from Fenella and her program. So welcome. Thank you for moderating this.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you for those kind remarks. I also want to join my other speakers and thank the organizers of this conference for inviting me. And also, I also want to say that I've enjoyed a lot and learned a lot. And to some extent, identified with quite a lot of the issues that have been discussed around. Okay, I didn't know that I was going to be the first one to present. I thought that's good. No, that's okay. Then I'll continue and I'll discuss mine. My presentation is on a pre-entry study as affirmative action that works. I have a picture of Africa there just to give you a little bit of how far I've come from and a bit on where I come from, Tanzania. And that is the map of Tanzania somewhere there. And I've captured a bit of Kenya. I'm sure you are all familiar with Kenya, with Obama's roots. Tanzania is the land of Kilimanjaro, the land of Tanzanite, the land of Zanzibar, the land of Serengeti. You're all welcome. And the land of very wonderful people. I was fast. When I want to talk about the pre-entry program, I also want to point out clearly that that is an affirmative measure, but it's also part of our overall University of Dar es Salaam efforts of institutional change for gender equality and equity. Basically, the point I'm trying to make out here is that University of Dar es Salaam is working at instituting gender sensitivity in the mainstream of our university's operations, basically working towards ensuring equal opportunities, access to benefits, resources, and other issues at the university are accessed by both men and women at the university. Basically, in so doing, we're employing various initiatives to address the various established imbalances that account for the gender inequalities at the university. And basically, when we talk of the gender inequalities, we're actually looking at gender issues. During the discussion earlier on, there was a lot of discussions in terms of equities, and to some extent, I could identify myself with quite a number of those discussions. The gender issues that have been established at the University of Dar es Salaam are as follows: imbalance in student enrollment, basically in science and engineering, and also imbalance in staff recruitment, lack of visibility, women in leadership positions at the university, limited visibility of women in senior academic positions, as well as sexual harassment. I don't know whether these are also some of the issues that some of the universities in developed countries can identify with, but at least these are some of the issues that our universities have been trying to work on. And we have attempted to do this, tackling the gender issues, by approaching and using a gender mainstreaming strategy, basically approaching these issues and addressing them in a holistic approach. And basically, when we talk of gender mainstreaming, we are actually talking of a strategy of taking aboard gender issues that we have established in all policies, programs, administration, finances, and organization procedures of the university. Policies and programs of the university, making sure that every step that we take, where the issues comes through, they are being taken care of. And this is done with a clear understanding that process of organization change for gender equality is complex and long-term. In other words, we don't expect this process didn't just start in a month or two or in a year or two. It's a process that has taken long, first of all, establishing the issues and also identifying how to go about them and also deciding that undertaking a strategy of gender mainstreaming will be more or less a solution towards a holistic way of addressing those things. Basically, gender mainstreaming is a strategy of taking aboard all those issues. And it aims at promoting equal opportunities within workplace and also making sure access to benefits and resources that are available to the university are also, you know, they are taken, they are accessed by both men and women and also students and staff at the university. What we normally do when during the process of gender mainstreaming at the University of Dar es Salaam is that we use the key steps of gender mainstreaming. First of all, we started by making sure that there is sex disaggregated data so that it could assist us during the gender analysis informations and so on and processes that ensued after sex disaggregated data. Because most of the time, we normally have data all over the place, but it's not very clearly, it's just collected and it's, you know, you might be told there are about 150 students, but you are not very clear whether those students are male or female, or there are about 60 staff, but you are not really, the data at first, it wasn't really collected whether these 60 staff are both, how many are men and how many are women. So at the end of the day, holistically, it is assumed that there is such a number of staff. But with gender mainstreaming, there was a necessity or rather a requirement on the part of the management to make sure that every data that is collected is sex disaggregated. And from the use of that sex disaggregated, it was possible to come out with gender analysis out of it. In other words, applying the why in terms of why is this data this way? If there are very few women, why is it very few women? And also, Another step that has been used is to create enablers to ensure women as well as men influence the key agendas of the University of Dar es Salaam, basically as part of tying up the lack of visibility of women and putting up processes as part of affirmative measures to make sure that we have enough women to be able to influence the key agendas of the university. And also some of the other steps was context-specific action to promote gender equality, and this is where the affirmative measure comes in, and also the affirmative measure of pre-entry engineering. That's where we at least had the political will to take care of this one through the affirmative measures, which is very context-specific, and specifically at our University of Dar es Salaam, we had very few students at the engineering faculty, and also very few, we actually had one female professor at the Faculty of Engineering for many years, and I think about two women lecturers for a number of years, one of them who died about 4 years ago, and so there were practically two female staff, and the few women who went to engineering had no role models, and sometimes they were even discouraged joining engineering. And then another step of gender mainstreaming that we push at the University of Dar es Salaam is towards organizational capacity building for gender and change. And this part of organizational capacity building for gender and change, a lot has been taking place, both in terms of capacity building of the key actors to undertake that process. I think during the discussions here, even during the equity initiatives that have been discussed around, there has been an issue of lack of capacity. And at the University of Dar es Salaam, that is one thing that has been identified as one of the key entry points to make sure that the key actors that are expected to undertake this undergo specific trainings, but also trainings to the level of making them accountable to the various initiatives that are supposed to be taking place at the university. Some of the strategies that were adopted at the university were, first of all, researches around the climate of the university, whereby a number of researches did show that there was a lot of gender insensitivity around the university, and also that the policies of the university themselves were not conducive enough to allow the different processes that we are propagating to undertake. And also that, so much so that at the end of the day, some of the strategies that were adopted were also to review some of the key university policies, and this was done about 5 years ago, so much so that specific major policies, maybe policies to do with human resources, policies to do with students, policies to do with management of the universities, were reviewed so that they carry the sensitivity that is required to enable the various processes to take place, the systemic nature of the organizations to be addressed. And also another strategies that were adopted was strategies in terms of specific affirmative action programs. On this one, a number of programs were instituted along these lines. Issues of, affirmative specific programs, and also institutional and individual capacity building for gender mainstreaming, and also networking and linkages, which my being here is part of that strategy, I guess. So that's how I ended up meeting Jody. Now, pre-entry studies, affirmative measures that work. I chose to use this term because I strongly believe that it is an affirmative measure that had worked at our university. And specifically, affirmative measures, the pre-entry study engineering program that I'm going to discuss about is part of the affirmative measures that were undertaken at the university. And affirmative measures at the University of Dar es Salaam are actually taken aboard as part of addressing the established gaps. So they are basically right-based strategies, not favors, because most of the time people just say you lower down the standards because you're favoring this category of people. So we had reached a stage at our university and rather being informed from what is going around the country, the nation, as well as the education sector, that affirmative measures are necessary, they're right-based strategies to address the established gaps that are, some of the gaps are out of the culture, some of the gaps are historical gaps, some of the gaps are basically out of the normal way of the way organizations are running, For example, higher learning institutions have been proved to be very, very, I wouldn't like to use the term masculine, but very gender insensitive in many ways, with the respect of having a lot of gender issues being very visibilized all around the board. So at the University of Dar es Salaam, we had to make sure that available opportunities are extended to both men and women staff and students, and part of it, we couldn't do it any other way but to allow the initiative of affirmative measures to be taken up as part of the key strategies to at least bring up to both men and women, staff and students, to a certain level of agreement. Now, some of the affirmative measures that have been taking place at the University of Dar es Salaam is a special entry point criteria, and this is specifically it's addressing the imbalances that has been in place in terms of student enrollment, and specifically generally for both female and male students, and across all board on different subjects, so much so that if the cutoff point for entry point for specific course is 8, and then the girl will be allowed to go in with 6 points. Oops, 6 points. And another affirmative measure is the female undergraduate scholarship program, and another one, scholarship for postgraduate female students and staff, and also pre-entry program for female engineering candidates. And this is the one I wanted to point out, that we have said that it works, because this is an entry point. When we started in 2004, we had about 7% of female students in engineering. And by 2008, we now have 28%. And this, the turnaround was very drastic. 7% in the first, when it was introduced, it was 7%, but by the time we, the second intake was already 18%, and then 21, 26. In the table, you can see that it is, we had about 31 female students in 2003. In 2005, the number had, through the pre-entry program, we managed to enter more than 129 students, and the percentage kept on rising up to 2008. In 2009, the percentage went a little bit down because the process of pre-entry study was taken aboard across most of the universities in Tanzania, and also the universities were so many. I think in the last 4 years, we had more than 10 universities came up and gave opportunity to mostly the sciences. It was more like a deliberate measure by the government, and hence it ate a little bit of some of the students who could have come to the University of Dar es Salaam. But those ones who were capable to come through the pre-entry were taken aboard. So basically, these affirmative measures at the University of Dar es Salaam does work in many ways, because it's also supported both by the environment and the remedial causes that goes with it. And the remedial causes takes place involving the professors at the university as well as the students who are much better off, maybe fourth year engineering students take care of the second year and the first year students, practically training them, practically tutoring them during the weekends and so on and so. And the professors take the students through during the long vacations. And also when the students went into the university for the first time, the professors were a little bit not taken by surprise, but they were not yet prepared. But we had to make sure that we had to do very intensive training, intensive engagement, sensitizing the professors in terms of the different needs these women students will have to undergo. And also, the university faculty of engineering was also not yet prepared, both in terms of the facilities, even including the toilets. They didn't have enough toilets for the female students because they were used to these guys' students. So the women had to go transform the other toilets, which were basically for male students to girl students. So what I'm saying is there is a need, affirmative measures work, and I'm just giving you a bit of the statistics at home in terms of the female academic staff, summer of female students. That is the general number with 37% vis-a-vis the guys. But more so for the engineering, the different key faculties of the engineering and the Faculty of Science, I've given you a little bit there in terms of the percentage. So the number is still very low, but without the entry, without the process of pre-entry engineering that we've established at the university, the number will even be lower. And also after putting in the pre-entry program, even the ones who could apply going to the engineering, those ones who applied for admission to engineering, the number of them rose very high. And that is generally the different faculties at the university showing the different up and some parts going down, depending on the civil engineering had very little practical, had no students, female students, before the pre-entry engineering, but some after the entry engineering, many of them went in. And the some of the gender issues in terms of the imbalances, in terms of statistics, we have very few professors who are female, and hence the lack of role models for which the or women students could look at up to, and a big influx of universities within a short year, about 10 in the last 5 years, and this didn't really go well in terms of preparations of professors to undertake those universities. Thank you.